Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. Kingston Police and the City of Kingston are reminding residents of rules around electric-powered modes of travel like e-scooters in the city after a rider was arrested for going 77 kilometers per hour in a bike lane last week. While they may be a common sight in the city, police are reminding residents that e-scooters are not currently permitted on municipal roads, sidewalks, trails, pathways, or any other public spaces within the city of Kingston. Individuals who choose to operate e-scooters or similar devices that do not comply with provincial and municipal regulations may be subject to enforcement action, including charges, fines, vehicle impoundment, and other penalties where applicable. Since their initial release, Kingston Police has issued another reminder to residents that electric dirt bikes and other off-road vehicles are also prohibited from operating on municipal streets, sidewalks, community parks, trails, and pathways within the city. Police have seen an increase in the number of these vehicles in the community. CFRC spoke with Constable Colangeli, Media Relations Officer with Kingston Police, about the safety concerns surrounding the unlicensed operation of e-scooters, e-bikes, and other off-road vehicles. I'm here with Constable Colangeli from the Kingston Police, and I originally reached out to you for another news release that you had sent out, and there has since been an updated one, but I wonder if we could talk about the first one, which was predicated by kind of a dramatic radar capture of someone going far faster than they should have on an e-scooter.
Yeah, absolutely. So on August 1st of this year, a member of our traffic safety unit captured an individual going 77 kilometers an hour on an e-scooter, and they were in the area of Division Street and John Counter, so right in kind of the heart of the city, the busy area. Obviously, the person was stopped and was issued numerous Part 3 summons, driving while under suspension, operating a motor vehicle without insurance, driving a motor vehicle without insurance, driving without license plates, failing to stop when directed by a police officer. So many people ask, how did we get to that point because it's an e-scooter? Well, based on the speed of that e-scooter, it was treated as a motor vehicle.
Okay. And from what I understand, Province of Ontario has a pilot project in place. Kingston as a city, however, is not currently in that pilot project, which means I believe the cutoff is 24 kilometers per hour for it to be considered not a vehicle.
Yes. So the pilot project covers scooters that go up to 24 kilometers an hour. However, the city has not opted in, and right now, regardless of the speed, above or below 24 kilometers an hour, e-scooters are prohibited in the city of Kingston. You cannot ride them on municipal roads, sidewalks, trails, pathways, or other public spaces. The only space to operate an e-scooter is on private property when you have permission from the property owner.
Okay, and I think this might come as a surprise to some listeners because we do see e-scooters sometimes out on the roads. But this new release is also talking about some of the other prohibited modes of transportation. And I wonder if we could talk about that as well, because it's not just one vehicle that you're addressing.
No, so the other release kind of focuses on bikes, power-assisted bikes, also known as e-bikes, which, as long as they meet certain requirements, are permitted. But there are many that we're seeing that are prohibited vehicles. So I can go over what's allowed first to make it easier. So the only power-assisted bike or mode of transportation that is allowed is an e-bike. And an e-bike is defined as a bike that has a handlebar for steering, working pedals, two or three wheels, an electric motor, and a braking system. So that's the definition of the bike. The bike cannot go over 32 kilometers an hour. You have to be 16 to ride the bike. You have to wear an approved bicycle or motorcycle helmet, and you have to follow the same rules as a cyclist. So these bikes can essentially go where a normal pedal bike can go.
We talked in relation to the e-bike arrest, some of the serious consequences that people are facing, but I wonder if you could talk more from a safety point of view, why these regulations are in place.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're seeing two things. We're seeing some folks buying these modes of transportation, and they can go anywhere from speeds to 50 to 80 kilometers an hour, which is extremely fast, especially given the fact that they offer little to no safety precautions. We're also seeing people modify scooters and bicycles to be able to go faster than what the manufacturer intended. And that's a risk as well, because often people are modifying the speed, but they're not modifying their brakes to be able to stop at that speed. So the bike actually can't stop. It's not designed to go 80 kilometers an hour. The brakes aren't designed to operate at 80 kilometers an hour. And, you know, that's obviously causes safety concerns for other pedestrians on the road and sidewalks, for the operator of that bike, and for other motor vehicles on the road.
If parents are listening, what are the consequences if they allow someone who's under 16 years of age to operate one of these vehicles?
Sure. Well, the consequences for anyone are the same. If you're operating one of these prohibited modes of transportation, specifically something that is going like 77 kilometers an hour, you will be treated as a vehicle on the roadway. So you can be charged with driving without a license, driving without insurance. And a first-time offense for driving without insurance can carry a fine of $5,000. Also, if you are a young person and you get charged with driving without a license and no insurance and, you know, a plethora of charges, that's going to affect your ability to get insurance when you become of driving age, because you're already going to have things on your record that insurance companies are going to look at and deem you a liability because of. So that's separate from the safety aspect. You know, we're seeing that people aren't wearing proper safety equipment, people aren't dressed properly. And I would stress for any pedestrian on the road, whether it's you're walking, you're using an e-bike, you're using a normal bicycle, the two things you need to do are be predictable and be visible. That's what's going to keep you safe. If other motorists know what you're going to do and you're using proper hand signals and you're visible, that's going to keep you the safest on a bike. But unfortunately, we're seeing people with no lights on their bikes, dressed in dark clothing, operating the bike in the evening and no type of warning for drivers. And it's causing accidents that maybe could have been prevented if those measures were taken.
I think especially as we are seeing school's going to be back in session, Queen's students are coming back, so the number of people traveling around during the day is going to be a lot busier. And so a really important time to be stressing that, you know, you do have to pay attention, you do have to be careful. There's going to be literally thousands more people commuting through downtown Kingston and across Kingston.
Absolutely. And I understand that people are looking for more affordable modes of transportation that are better for the environment, that are easier for urban areas. And some people may be disappointed that a scooter isn't one of these options. I bring up the e-bikes because there is an option right now in Kingston that is your best option. A defined by the government e-bike that does not go over 32 kilometers an hour and you're using as a bicycle and following the rules of the road like a cyclist. I don't know what the city's intentions are long term for the pilot project with the scooters, but right now those modes of transportation are prohibited on public roadways in Kingston.
If listeners have any doubts about a vehicle that they might have or that they might be considering purchasing, is there a way to find out what the rules are right now?
Yeah, so if you go to the Ontario government's webpage, ontario.ca/ebikes, that will give you some parameters as to what you can and can't operate. But that's at the provincial level. So I stress that you have to also check your municipal bylaws. So like Kingston has a municipal bylaw that says you cannot ride a bicycle on a sidewalk. So any bike cannot be on a sidewalk anywhere. So the city of Kingston's website also has some resources, but you can go on to our webpage as well and read our media releases, and hopefully that clears it up. I know sometimes reading it gets a little confusing, you know, clear as mud, but essentially the power assisted bike right now is what you want to be looking for. no modifications, do not remove the pedals. And then from there, we'll see what direction the city goes in with these pilot projects.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. I know this is a busy time of year for you, and I appreciate you sharing this with our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you.
As mentioned by Kingston Police, while the province is using a pilot to explore the rules and regulations around e-scooters and other types of small electric vehicles, participation in the pilot program is up to each municipality, and the City of Kingston has not opted into the pilot program at this time. According to the City of Kingston's current policies, e-cargo bikes weighing more than 55 kilograms, electric-powered kick scooters or e-scooters, electric unicycles, electric one-wheels, electric skateboards, electric hoverboards, electric transporters, and low-speed vehicles, those small four-wheeled electric vehicles with a top speed of 32 to 40 kilometers per hour, are not permitted within the city's public transportation network. A spokesperson from the City of Kingston was not available for interview, but city staff did share that the city is currently developing a micromobility regulation strategy to ensure people of all ages and abilities can use Kingston's streets, paths, and trails safely and confidently. A review of the city's bylaws that regulate micromobility was identified as a recommendation as part of the city's active transportation implementation plan, and a public survey was open for feedback earlier this spring. Micromobility is a general term used to describe a range of small, low-speed, relatively lightweight, human or electric-powered modes of travel. Examples include bicycles, which can be standard or folding, and cargo bikes, e-bikes and e-cargo bikes, electric kick scooters or e-scooters, skateboards, rollerblades, and low-speed vehicles. The Kingston Police Traffic Safety Unit will be increasing education and enforcement in the coming weeks, especially during the first week of school, in an effort to keep road users and pedestrians safe from all forms of motor vehicles. To learn more about the city's ongoing micromobility review and development of a micromobility regulation strategy, please visit Get Involved Kingston at getinvolved.cityofkingston.ca. With move-in weekend just around the corner, the City of Kingston is welcoming new and returning post-secondary students to the community and sharing information and advice on parking restrictions, safety initiatives, and their guide to being a good neighbor. According to the City of Kingston, being a good neighbor is a shared responsibility. University students living on or around campus are valued members of the Kingston community. They encourage all new and returning residents to review the city's Good Neighbor Guide for a better understanding of how the City of Kingston operates, the services and opportunities available, and how you can build a foundation of trust and respect in your neighborhoods during the school year and beyond. The guide is available on the City of Kingston's website under their community news or commonly searched bylaws pages. Students and neighbors are reminded that the University District Safety Initiative, UDSI, will be in effect from Friday, August 28th at 12:01 a.m. until Sunday, September 13th at 6 a.m. The purpose of the UDSI is to educate community members and to mitigate risks of large unsanctioned gatherings, including strains on emergency services. During this time, community partners, including city bylaw enforcement officers and Kingston Police, will have an increased presence in the university district. Bylaw enforcement officers can also require people to pay administrative monetary penalties, AMPs, for contraventions of the nuisance party bylaw, the noise bylaw, or other bylaws. As part of UDSI, the city will close Gord Edgar Downey Pier and Breakwater Park Beach to the public nightly from 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, August 28th to the morning of September 13th. The decision to close the park during this time is to ensure the safety of community members in the university district, as large unsanctioned gatherings in this area pose a major safety risk, particularly at night. Student move-in at Queens begins on the evening of Friday, September 4th and goes until Saturday, September 5th at 5 p.m. To keep traffic moving during student move-in, some area roads will have parking restrictions and some will be designated as one-way traffic. Overnight parking restrictions from 4 p.m. Friday, September 4th through Saturday, September 5th at 5 p.m. include Albert Street between Queens Crescent to King Street, Stewart Street between University and Albert, Collingwood Street between King Street and Albert Street, Bader Lane, Queens Crescent, Earl Street between Frontenac Street and Alfred Street, St. Lawrence Avenue East Side, King Street from Lower University Avenue to Beverly Street. Street parking is not permitted Saturday, September 5th between 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Arch at Union Street, George Street at Stewart Street, and Oak Hill Street at George Street. Streets designated one-way for the day September 5th, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. include Albert Street southbound between Johnson Street and King, Queens Crescent westbound from Albert to Collingwood Grant Street, Bader Lane westbound, Stewart Street westbound between University Avenue and Albert Street, St. Lawrence Avenue southbound from Stewart Street to King Street, Collingwood Street southbound from Queens Crescent to King Street, and University Avenue southbound from Earl Street to Stewart Street. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell with your sports report brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. And today we're going to provide a quick preview of the upcoming football game between the Queens Golden Gaels and the Toronto Varsity Blues, which is scheduled for a 7 p.m. kickoff on Sunday, August 30th. Sunday's game will be the 185th matchup between these two long-standing, well-established programs. The early history of this rivalry is dictated largely by the Varsity Blues, with the Gaels slowly but surely gaining ground on their old four foes throughout the 20th century and into the 21st century. The last time the Toronto Varsity Blues tallied a victory against the Gaels was October 1975. Now, mind you, these teams haven't played every single year since then, but the Gaels have won 24 consecutive games against the Blues dating back to 1983. These two teams last met in 2025, and don't let the lopsided score fool you. This was a much closer game, at least in the first half, than the final score would indicate. The Gaels did struggle early on with Toronto's wide-open, fast-paced passing offense, but towards the end of the second quarter, the Gaels would tally the first of what would end up being five interceptions against Toronto's veteran quarterback, Scott Barnett. That opened the floodgates on offense as Queens would walk away with a 38-point victory, 44-6. Both programs have seen a number of key departures since that September 2025 game. For the Gaels, they have lost almost all of their secondary, including number 24 Ashton Miller-Melisson, number 22 John Korskaden, number 14 Jared Seaway, and number 26 Keegan Vanek, just to name a few. The Varsity Blues lose quarterback Scott Barnett, wide receiver Jake Osine, and All-Canadian Chris Joseph on the offensive side of the ball. They do still have some strong starters on defense, including linebacker number 16 Ryan Stewart, but the offensive cupboards are definitely bare for the Varsity Blues, as exemplified by their preseason performance against the McGill Redbirds. Toronto would lose 34-1 against McGill, being outgained by nearly 400 yards. The Blues put up 118 yards of total offense, with quarterback Caleb O'Donoghue accounting for 97 of those 118 yards, with 44 passing yards and 53 rushing yards. The Blues' offense had nearly as many fumbles, 3, as they did first downs, 5. Toronto managed just 6 total completions between 4 quarterbacks. Now the defense, I think they turned in a respectable effort, but it's a young unit. There's going to be a lot of learning still to do, and this is a really tough opponent for them to draw in Week 1 in the defending Yates Cup champion Queens Gaels. So what do I expect from this game? I think it's going to be another difficult day at the office for the Varsity Blues. The Gaels, they're just so deep, so talented, and so well coached that if this team plays to the level that we saw against Laval, this game could get out of hand and could be over realistically by the end of the first half. Which for Queens is not a bad thing, as they have a long, grueling schedule from weeks 3 onwards, as the Gaels have a week 2 bye. So for Queens, when they're playing teams that aren't quite at that competitive level yet, they really should prioritize jumping out early and giving their starters plenty of time to rest. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see on Sunday night. That's a wrap for this evening's sports report. Be sure to tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca on Sunday, August 30th. Our CFRC Power Plays pregame show will go live at 6:30 p.m. ahead of the scheduled 7 p.m. kickoff. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, August 26th, 22 is your high, feeling a degree warmer, partly sunny with a 55% chance of light showers in the afternoon. Thursday, August 27th, 24 is your high, mix of sun and cloud with an 83% chance of precipitation, feeling closer to 28, so quite a humid day here in the city of Kingston. Friday, August 28th, 23 is your high, feeling closer to 25 with a 55% chance of an afternoon thunder shower. Saturday, August 29th, 23, mostly cloudy and a little less humid here in the city of Kingston, dropping down to 13 overnight. Sunday, August 30th, 23 is your high, feeling closer to 25 with a mix of sun and cloud. And then kicking off the start of next week and the end of August, Monday, August 31st, 23 is your high, feeling like 24 with a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. South Bartlett Street from Victoria to Smith is closed until September 30th, while a contractor undertakes facade restorations at 655 Princess Street. McDonnell Street from Dundas Street to Scott Street will be closed August 26th from 7 a.m. until August 27th at 5 p.m. for Utilities Kingston replacement of a fire hydrant. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive started on June 15th. Norman Rogers Drive is closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users, including students, families, and local residents. Reminder that the City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above-ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street to Queen Street is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is still closed to accommodate construction activity and staging.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, markets, workshops, or something fun to do around the city, there is lots happening this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday features a lunch and learn at Cultivate Arts Commons, Game in the Square, and Swingin' Summer. The Kingston's Blues Fest also kicks off alongside live music from Taryn McKenna and Vince DeBeale, Sean McCullen, and Carlo and Good Fortune. On Thursday, try an artistic genealogy workshop. Head over to Queen's Family Night or catch Wreck-It Ralph at Movies in the Square. The Kingston Blues Fest continues with Big Mo and the Blues Mission, Riley and Riley, Hellhound Trail, and more. Friday brings meditation in the gallery and kickin' it country with Whiskey Smoke. Music highlights include the Kingston Blues Fest, Sons of Rick Abroad the Island Queen, Lost Chanel, The Mourning Doves, and Powerhouse Trio. Heading into Saturday now, browse the mini market series, catch a chef demo, try e-brew art workshop, or spend the afternoon at the Kingston Blues Fest in Confederation Park. Live music includes Ghost Town Blues Band, Dead Root Revival, Pearl Jamming, and Squid Pistol. Wrapping things up Sunday, visit the Indigenous Sacred Fire and Cataraqui Indigenous Market, stop by the Memorial Center Farmers Market, or check out Remix Revelations. Music includes Black Dog All-Stars with Chantel Thompson, The Gertrudes and Niche Werby, and the Lightfoot Band. That is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you for August 24th through the 30th. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. I'm Jenny, thanks for listening, and have a great week, Kingston!
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.